All right, did you bring your Bibles? Oh, by the way, Cheryl, I forgot my microphone, so I figured you knew that, but I was going to tell you anyway. All right. Did you bring your Bible? If you did, hold them up. Let's see them. Get them up. Okay. Good. Electronics works fine. Phones, tablets, real tablets made out of stone with a Bible etching. That's a hymnal, you sorry thing. All righty. All right. I was going to call you Sorry Dog, but, well, I did. You're Sorry Dog. That was a hymnal, you Sorry Dog. Yeah, that's right. Turn to Numbers chapter 12. It's in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 12. We have been kind of walking along with Moses as he has moved in his life. And we find him now written about in Numbers chapter 12. The second part of a message I began 3 weeks ago. On May 24th is when I began it. On the 31st was Memorial Day weekend. Last week was the sermon on deacon qualifications. And since you have slept since then, I want to do a quick review of what we covered on that day. Have you found Numbers chapter 12? What page are you on? Good. Very good. And that's the right page. Very good. Alrighty, I begin by giving you two statements of real truth. The first one is this: if we seek the approval of Christ, we're not going to have the approval of men. Now, sometimes we will, but oftentimes we won't. Because natural man is not necessarily interested in the things of God. And so if we seek the approval of Christ, we're not going to have the approval of men. And the second one was this: if we seek God's approval, our enemy is going to take notice. The first point, first main point I covered was this: craving approval brings discouragement. Have you found that out in your own life yet? Man, you work and trying to make other people happy, and in the meantime, you find and you're getting more and more discouraged. The bottom line is this: you can't make everybody happy. You can't do it. If we play to the crowd, the grumbling will eventually get to us. People will always grumble. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yeah, they will. God had done everything for these people that Moses was leading, but it was never enough. And if we focus on pleasing people, we're going to be discouraged every time. Every time. Now, point number two was craving approval brings jealousy. When our goal is approval, we're going to be jealous of the attention of others. We see this in children sometimes. You know what I'm talking about. When two kids are friends, and then next thing you know, one of these two friends becomes friends with another person, the other one starts getting jealous. And then sometimes they'll do stuff or say stuff to make this one not like them and like them back again. It's almost like we're not allowed to have but one friend. You know, I can't be friends with two of you because, you know, it's not possible, but it is possible. When our goal, though, is approval, we're going to be jealous of the attention that other people get. And we often feel like we are indispensable. We feel like no one can teach this class like me. Nobody can lead this ministry like me. No one can organize this activity like we can. And to be honest with you, pastors can easily find themselves in this position. I have learned that I am not indispensable. And I can't do everything well. And there's other people who can do stuff better than I can do stuff. I understand that. If our goal is to please God, we're not going to care who gets the credit. We're not going to care who gets recognized if our goal is to please God. But if our goal is to win the approval of people, We want the credit. We want to be recognized. If our goal is to please people, then it's all about us. Now, I've told you before, at home, it is all about me. But not, yeah, some of y'all know that ain't true. But in here, it's not all about you either. It's all about God the Father. The truth is that none of us are indispensable. Not a single one of us. There are some people who think, the place will not make it without me. I'll tell you just a side story. I'm going to chase a rabbit here. In our church in Arkansas, we were there for 10 years. I was music and whatever guy. I was minister of tables and chairs. Just whatever needed to be done, that was my job. And in the process of being there, there was a fellow who had just gotten out of the Navy, and he was coming to school. We had a little technical college right down the road. And he was coming to college there, and he was a black man. And his wife was Filipino. And he wanted to join the church. We put out there on our sign, everybody welcome. He wanted to see if that was true or not. So he wanted to come. He wanted to be part of a church where the Bible was taught rather than other stuff. So he came, wanted to join the church. And everybody except a few people were really excited about that. But there was one old guy who wasn't happy. And on his way out leaving the church, he said, "This church is going to fold without me." Guess what? He was wrong. Church did not fold. The church grew. Sometimes we think that I am indispensable. This church won't make it without me. Truth of the matter is, church will be just fine without you. Church will be just fine without me. Because it's not my church, it's not your church. Guess whose church it is? It's God's church. He can take care of his church. None of us are indispensable. God can do whatever he wants through whoever he wants. I got to looking at this line in my notes, and I got to thinking it might should say, through whomever he wants. Any English people in here want to correct me on that? Yeah, listen, if that's the way you want it, you write it down that way in your notes. But he can do whatever he wants through whoever he wants. Remember, last part of Numbers chapter 22, God used a donkey for his purposes. And I'm not kidding you, that brings me a lot of comfort. Because if God can speak through Balaam's donkey, maybe he can speak through me. This brings us to where we are today. Y'all ready? Get your pencils out, your pens, lipstick, mascara, whatever you got. Let's fill in some blanks here, okay? Number 3, craving approval brings bitterness. Bitterness. Chapter 12 begins with a problem. There's always a problem. If it wasn't one thing, is another. First, the problem was this. It was Moses' scandalous marriage. His marriage. Now, look at verse 1 there in chapter 12. It says, "Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman." Now, it seems that Moses' wife, Zipporah, had died. The Bible doesn't tell us when it happened or how it happened. But along the way, he marries this Ethiopian woman, or your Bible may say a Cushite woman. And evidently, this was a source of great scandal in camp. Even his own sister and brother, Miriam and Aaron, spoke against Moses. I'll bet that mixed marriage made the front page of the Hebrew Inquirer for weeks. They're walking by to check out at the store there, and on the stand there right next to the checkout place, it's got the front page news. Moses marries an Ethiopian woman. Gasp. You know, front page news. Now, I want you to notice, they didn't speak to Moses. They didn't come to Moses and say, Moses, why'd you do this? Or what were you thinking? Anything. They didn't speak to Moses. It says they spoke against him in the camp. And it's often like this. Instead of talking to someone where there's a problem, they talk about them. Know what I mean? Instead of being a part of the solution, they became part of the problem. I've mentioned this before many times. Talking about someone is probably sin. The Bible calls it gossip. Talking to someone is a good thing. Even though it might be a hard thing, it's a good thing. So, don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. Let's go on. Letter B, Miriam and Aaron are corrected. Big time. They're corrected. Verse 2 says that Aaron and Miriam asked, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? The suggestion is that this marriage somehow or the other disqualified Moses. Oh, well, he did this. He's not qualified to be our leader anymore. He's not qualified to be our prophet. He's not qualified to tell us what God wants because he did this. The law said they were not to marry Canaanites. That was the law. But this woman wasn't a Canaanite. She was an Ethiopian. The bottom line seems to be that Moses didn't ask for Miriam or Aaron's approval before marrying this woman. And they didn't like him making decisions without them. Notice the end of verse 2. Look at it. The end of verse 2. This is good. And the Lord heard it. Uh-oh. Verse 4 says that God told him, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. How many of you remember when you were in school? The announcement comes over the speaker, which you can barely understand anyway. It's like listening to the speaker in a plane airport. Okay. Will Joe Hendrickson please report to the principal's office? Y'all ever been? Anybody ever had that done where you called out? Or the note comes to the teacher through the door and it's, oh. Well, Joe, you need to go to the principal's office. Now, it's one thing if you don't know why you're being called there. It's another thing if you do know why you're being called there. And as you walk down that seemingly endless hallway to get to the principal's office, you begin to get a little sick in your stomach because you know you're in trouble now. Principal done found out. Whatever it was, I've been there. Whatever it was, principal done found out. Or maybe you've been called to a meeting with the big boss because you didn't do something the way it's supposed to be done, or you did something you weren't supposed to do, or you didn't do something you're supposed to do. And the boss says, come to my office. And you get that sick feeling. It says there that God came down in the pillar of cloud to speak with Miriam and Aaron. Let's look at his words in verses 6 through 8. Then he said, God said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak to him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Wow. God heard it. God called him out on it. God's anger was aroused. And when he departed, it says that Miriam became leprous, white as snow. I'll bet she was wishing she'd have kept her mouth shut. Don't you know? God heard it. She's paying for it. Just a side note. God hears us too. Just saying. He hears you and me. Just saying. Now, it seems that Aaron has a major attitude adjustment. And look how he responds in verses 11 and 12. So Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb." Where was this once mighty, arrogant Aaron? He's gone. Now he is humble Aaron. God has a way of doing that. He brings down the proud. He did it in this case too. Now, Moses responds in mercy, not bitterness. In mercy. How would you have responded if you were Moses? I have a feeling that some of us would have been a bit bitter at a family member who told us who to marry and not to marry. Some of us have bitterness in our families right now for a whole bunch of different reasons. Some of you might have said, "Well, serves you right. So you got leprosy now. Serves you right." That's not what Moses did. Now, Moses, in verse 13, it says he cried out to God and said, "Please heal her, O God, I pray." I tell you what, this Moses was an unusual man. Unusual man. If Moses had sought the approval of people, he'd have never married this woman. But evidently the marriage pleased God. Evidently, Moses had already, and God had already talked about it. I read of a story by that Chuck Swindoll writes, and he was talking about a lonely widower who married a woman who was more than a few years younger than him. And some busybody said, and there's always some busybody, comes to him and says, "The nerve. How could you have the nerve to marry somebody that much younger than you?" Can you picture the look on her face? I didn't do it justice. Not with this face. And he replies, "Listen, honey, I'd rather smell perfume than liniment any day." You know what liniment is, don't you? Bengay. I don't know what other brands they... That was the one my mom and dad used. Oh, the whole house would smell like it. It was... I'm sorry, do you not like Bengay? Maybe she smelled it too. Okay. I'm telling y'all, that's a pretty baby. I just wanted to say it one more time. I like babies. I think everybody ought to have 15, 20 of them. I got to tell y'all, when me and Tammy we were still engaged, and I lied to her. She said she wanted 10 children. I said, "Oh, baby, you got it. 10 children, you got it." She didn't get it. Got 4 children, not 10. I'm sorry I lied to you, baby. I'm sorry. I'll hear about this when I get home, too. Listen, if you seek to please God, bitterness will not take root in your heart. Someone said this, maturity is moving from a soft skin and a tough heart to tough skin and a soft heart. That's maturity. That's what it takes. Number 4, craving approval brings resignation. Resignation. In chapter 13, we see that spies are sent out to Canaan. In verse 26, it tells us that Israel was camped in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. It was from there that Moses sent the 12 spies into the promised land. The idea was to bring back a report. They said in verse 27, it truly flows with milk and honey. They even brought back a cluster of grapes that was so huge it had to be carried between two guys on a pole. That's a big old cluster of grapes. But the downside's in verse 28. The inhabitants of the land were strong and their cities are fortified. They even saw the descendants of Anak there. Now, the descendants of Anak were a race of giants. These were big old boys there. Caleb's strong voice rang out. He says, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it. I like it, guy. Let's go do it now. Let's get her done. Now, the other spies, with the exception of Joshua, gave the children of Israel a bad report. They said, the land devours its inhabitants. And up against those giants, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. So, the majority rebels. That was all the people needed to hear. Chapter 14, verse 1 says, they lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. In verse 2, they said, if we only had died in the land of Egypt. Have you heard that before from them? More than one time. If we'd only stayed in, there was food in Egypt. There was this, if we'd only stayed in Egypt, and here it is again, if we'd only died in the land of Egypt, if we only had died in this wilderness. It's not the first time they brought up wishing they were still in Egypt. They went so far as to say in verse 4, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Let's go back to slavery. Doesn't make much sense, does it? But they were ready to do that. When I'm preparing for messages, one of my favorite theologians is Warren Wiersbe. How have y'all ever heard of him? It's good stuff. He, like a lot of other people, he puts the cookies on the bottom shelf. You can read him and understand him. And this is what he says about this. In most churches, there are two or three chronic complainers who plague the spiritual leaders and sometimes must be disciplined. But here there was an entire nation weeping over a plight that they had caused by their own unbelief. They didn't admit their own failings. Instead, they blamed God and decided to choose a new leader and return to Egypt. That's what it says in chapter 14, verse 3 and 4. Now, Wiersbe says this. This was rebellion against the will of God. Ooh, that's not good. Listen, rebellion against the will of God is a dangerous place to be. Have you been there? It's a dangerous place to be. He goes on to say this. When the child of God is in the will of God, there is no place for complaining, even if the circumstances are difficult. The will of God will never lead us where the grace of God can't provide for us or the power of God protect us. Look at that again. It's up there on the screen. Look at it. The will of God will never lead us where the grace of God can't provide for us or the power of God protect us. I'm telling you, this Wiersbe guy, he's got a bead on what Scripture's saying. If our daily prayer is, thy will be done, and if we walk in obedience to God's will, then what is there to complain about? He goes on to say, a complaining spirit is evidence of an ungrateful heart and an unsurrendered will. By our grumblings, we are daring to say that we know more than God does about what's best for his people. Wow. We shouldn't grumble, should we? I don't think so. He makes that pretty clear. Now, we got to wrap this thing up because y'all want to go home sooner or later. Let us see here. Moses takes a stand. Chapter 14, verses 5 through 10 talks about this. Listen, If Moses were in this for human approval, he would have never made another step toward the promised land. Never. 2 million people, minus 4 or 5, had just voted to retreat. Did you catch that? 2 million people, less just 4 or 5, voted to retreat. Man, they're ready to go home. Now notice first off what Moses didn't do. He didn't take an opinion poll. He didn't do a demographic breakdown of the will of the people. He didn't ask for a vote of confidence. He didn't resign, and he didn't run. That's what Moses didn't do. Listen, there are times when the majority is wrong. Did you catch that? There are times when the majority is wrong. In verse 5, it says that Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly. Verse 10 says, all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now, if that were to happen to you, what would you say? What would you do? I got to be honest, I'd be packing bags. See you later, alligator. I wouldn't hang around for that. Look at what Moses does in verse. Notice God's words there in verses 11 and 12. Verse 11, then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? Then God says, I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. In other words, I'm going to kick them to the curb, and I'm going to start over with you. That's tough. Now, I might have said, get her done, God. Go do it. I want to see the lightning come to listen. Start with that guy right there. That's what I might have said. Let's look at what. Now, the thing is, that's what I would have said if I was looking for glory for myself. That's not what Moses was looking for. He wasn't looking for the glory or the recognition or the approval. If you read on, you'll find out that he defended Israel. And we're going to read on in the next few weeks. Wrapping this thing up. Somebody said this. I really can't give you the formula for success, but I can give you the formula for failure. It's this. Try to please everyone. You try to please everyone, you're going to fail every time. Because you cannot please everyone. You can't do it. So who are we like? Are we like Moses? Are we humble toward God? Or are we like rebellious Israel? We're one or the other. Now I know some of y'all sitting there say, well, I am like humble Moses. My heart is just so pure. Really? Let me ask you, family, if that's true. Let me ask your children, your parents, if that's true. The bottom line question is this. Are we more interested in man's praise or in God's reward? What do we want? Do we want praise from men? Do we want to be lifted up by other people and other people to tell us, oh, you're so good, we just love you. I have found out even in ministry that sometimes the people who come to you and say, oh, you're so good, we love you, are the same people who will try to stab you in the back a few months down the road. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They're the same people. I am trying my best to be more interested in God's reward. But I'm just a human being like you are. Sometimes man's praise sounds good. But if we're going to give up God's reward to get man's praise, I don't want man's praise. Now, what's cool is when you can get both. But oftentimes you can't get both. Let's make a decision today on who we're going to please. I've mentioned to you before, sometimes you got to start off the day by deciding, God, today I'm going to please you, not me. We've got to do that. We've got to make up our mind who we're going to please. And then if we choose to please God today, then we need to make sure we follow through with that and do those things that's pleasing to Him and not do those things that aren't pleasing to Him and not get dragged into something else that pulls us away from Him. We got to make up our mind who we're going to please. Have you decided who you're going to please today? Maybe you need to do that. Maybe you need to decide for Jesus Christ today. Let's pray. Father, I love it when your word gives us some good examples to follow. And I love it when your word gives us some examples not to follow. Thank you for making your word clear to us. And Lord, help us to be followers of your word. Not followers of culture, not followers of society, not followers of our friends, but followers of you and your word. Thank you for this example of Moses. Lord, we know he's not a perfect man. But thank you for giving us an example. Thank you especially for the example of Jesus Christ. He was a perfect man. Is a perfect man. And Lord, help us follow his example. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.